I invite you to stand as Abel for our call to worship. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord.
Our scripture reading today, it comes from the Gospel of Mark. We'll be looking at chapter 14, verses 32 to 36. They went to the place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." This is the word of God for the people of God. So before we tackle our scripture reading today, just a couple chapters earlier in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, Jesus' disciples, James and John, the very ones in the Garden of Gethsemane, they ask Jesus, "Can we sit at your left and at your right hand when you come into glory?" And in typical Jesus fashion, he responds with a question. And he says, "Are you willing to drink from the cup that I will drink from?" And Jesus' disciples, they understood that the cup was a metaphor. It was a metaphor for one's fate, one's destiny, your lot in life. The cup was a metaphor for the cards that you were dealt. It represented your life and its journey. And they understood the metaphor, but they didn't understand Jesus' cup, and they simply responded, "Yes, Lord, of course we can drink from the cup that you will drink from," because of course it would most likely be a cup of glory. Now, right before we get to our scripture reading today, in Mark chapter 14, Jesus celebrates the Passover, or as we know it, as the Last Supper. And it was at the Last Supper that he breaks bread, and he says, "This is my body broken for you." And then he takes the cup, and he says, "This is my blood poured out for you." And what we know it as the institution of the tradition that we call Holy Communion. But what's interesting is that the Passover meal is a celebration. It's an anniversary that remembers God's faithfulness and God's deliverance from the people of out of Egypt. But Jesus is talking about broken bodies and blood being poured out. It's like celebrating your wedding anniversary and someone goes up to give a toast and starts talking about mutilation and death. It's sort of an odd image. It's a gruesome image. And Jesus, again, he talks about a cup, but a cup poured out of his own blood. And still his disciples, they don't really understand what Jesus is talking about. Which brings us to our scripture reading today. Jesus is in the garden called Gethsemane, and he's there to pray. And the scripture says that Jesus was full of sorrow. He was full of anguish to the point of death. This is that type of sadness, that type of anguish, that type of pain that you feel. It's a mental, emotional pain, but it's so big, it's so heavy that you can literally feel it in your chest. You know what I'm talking about? It's when the news is so terrible that it consumes every thought that you have. You feel this huge, heavy burden on your chest. This pain, this trouble, it saps all of the energy out of your life. When you're in this kind of sorrow, you eventually become numb to everything around you. The only thing that you're aware of is your own pain, which becomes heightened 10 times, 100 times over. And it says that Jesus was praying and he felt this kind of sorrow and he felt this kind of anguish. And as he was walking, he fell down. And it's at this point, Jesus prays perhaps one of the shortest prayers in all of Scripture, but I think probably one of the most honest prayers. He prays to God and he says, "Take this cup from me." What Jesus is essentially saying is, he says, my fate, my destiny, my lot in life, what I'm supposed to do, who I am, I don't want it anymore. This is not what I want. This is not what I signed up for. See, I think a lot of us, when we pray, we might ask God, "Lord, this situation is so terrible. Can you please change the circumstances of my life? Please change A, B, and C so that X, Y, and Z can be figured out." We ask God to change circumstances so that we might not be in pain anymore. But Jesus takes it one step further. He says, "Forget about changing circumstances. This life that I have is not a life that I want anymore. Take this cup from me." You only pray that kind of prayer when you are in despair, when you are in absolute, utter hopelessness. I can't think of a worse place to be. And going a little bit further, Jesus simply prays, "Yet not my will be done, but yours be done." That's a powerful prayer. I think that prayer was not really for God's ears. That prayer was really for his own ears. That was a prayer for an audience of one. Because Jesus was coming to face the unescapable reality that the cup that he was given is the cup that he had to drink from. That his life, his fate, his destiny was his own. And all he could do at that moment was to surrender. No circumstances would be changed. Nothing around him would be fixed, would be remedied in that instant. He simply had to surrender to ultimate reality. He simply had to submit to what he felt was what God wanted for him. Now, when we talk about surrender, we think that it's being passive. We think that when we say, "God, I can't do anything about this," we think that we're sort of giving up. It's quite the opposite. It's about acceptance. It's about acceptance, accepting that this reality which stands before me, I can't do anything about it, and I can either be angry about it, I can be upset about it, I can let it crush me, or I can accept that there is nothing that I can do, there's nothing that I can change except my own attitude towards this situation. It's not passivity. It's taking action. But see, sometimes when we surrender and we accept the situation before us, sometimes it means that we actually do nothing. It might mean that we remain composed while all the turmoil is going around us. Sometimes, accepting reality, it means that we have to take a bold action in faith, something daring, something risk-taking, because that's the only option left to do. Now, as I read this passage, as I thought about it, I realized I have never been in a situation like Jesus was in that evening 2,000 years ago on that probably maybe Thursday night. I've never been in that depths of despair. I've never experienced that level of sorrow and pain. But I do know that there are points in my life, whether it's in a relationship with my own family members, whether there is conflict with a friend or a conflict with a church member, or whether something at work, or something in my personal life where there's this incredible, incredible conflict. And I know that I can't change the other person. I can't change the situation. I can certainly ask God and say, Lord, change this. But there have certainly been moments in my life, and I imagine in all of yours, where you have to say, okay, I can't change anything. So, Lord, not my will be done, but yours be done. You know, when you enact that kind of acceptance, it feels like you're dying. It really does. It feels like you're really killing a part of yourself, a part of your pride, a part of your ego. It feels like you're losing all control when you submit yourself to accepting reality. The Apostle Paul, he talks about this extensively in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says this is called dying to oneself. The Apostle Paul calls this being crucified with Christ. It's the idea that I cannot change anything around me, but I can change myself. See, here's the beauty of this. The Apostle Paul, he understood this because he knew that when Jesus was crucified, he knew that that wasn't the end of the story. He understood that it was only the beginning of the story. And in just a couple minutes now, we are going to partake in the ancient ritual called Holy Communion. And in just a few minutes, we're going to break bread as it represents the body of Christ, which is broken. It's a reminder to us that our Lord did not come here to be served, but that our Lord came here to serve. And then in a moment, we're going to lift up the cup of Christ because it represents that his blood was poured out for us. And when we partake in those elements, when we partake in the bread and in the cup, it is our commitment to the path of Jesus. It is our commitment to the path of accepting the reality which is in front of us. It's our commitment to accepting that it is only when we die to ourselves that we can experience resurrection and new life. Amen.
My sisters and brothers, Christ shows us his love by becoming a humble servant. Let us draw near to God and confess our sins in the truth of God's Spirit. I invite you to join me in prayer. Most merciful God, we, your church, confess that often our spirit has not been that of Christ, where we have failed to love one another as he loves us, where we have pledged loyalty to him with our lips and then betrayed, deserted, or denied him. Forgive us, we pray, and by your Spirit, make us fruitful in every time of trial. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. But Christ suffered and died for us, was raised from the dead, and ascended on high for us, and continues to intercede for us. Believe the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. In the tradition of the church for centuries, we now stand to offer peace to one another as a symbol of God's forgiveness given to us that we might forgive our neighbor. So stand and offer Christ's peace. It's in great thanksgiving, Lord, that we come in thankfulness and have joined in this meal. Be with us now. Fill us with your Spirit. Offer us your peace on this holy night. Amen.
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same.
They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be distressed and agitated, and said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet, not what I want, but what you want."
He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard." So when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him.
Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day, I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled.